This is the Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.
I'm joined by Jordan. Of course, you are GQ Jordan. You're a registered nutritional therapist, and you're here to debunk some nutritional myths that we all tend to fall for, and some of your favourite viral recipes as well. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Delighted to be here.
Now, Jordan, let's start with some food fiction. What's one of the biggest diet myths that you wish people would kind of stop believing?
Well, I suppose it's a myth that's grounded in truth, really. But I think that there's a massive hyperfixation on protein in people's diets at the moment. And don't get me wrong, protein is so important for us. It's like it's a key macronutrient, which means that we need it to live. But when it comes to protein, it's only one part of the picture. And we need to kind of zoom out, as always is the case when it comes to our nutrition. So it's essential, as I said, but it's not the whole story. And I see a lot of people kind of doubling down on their protein while completely forgetting about a very, very important thing, which is fiber. And so it's like building the walls of your house and skipping the foundation, if that makes sense. So you need both for energy and hormones and gut health. But often online, we are pushed down the protein-only route. And there have been cases, especially coming out in the States, lots of studies coming out showing that, you know, too high protein in our diet can actually be slightly detrimental for certain people, especially if you have, you know, kidney complaints or ailments. So it's always good to kind of zoom out when we see something being pushed. If a diet or something online is pushing one solution as the be all and end all, then you kind of know, okay, there's something a bit up here. We always have to have balance when it comes to our nutrition. So maybe take that with a pinch of salt.
Mm-hmm. Intermittent fasting is everywhere on social media right now. Is it really a miracle method, or is it not for everyone?
Not for everyone, I'd say. Intermittent fasting can be really, really beneficial for men. And it can, you know, there are lots of studies that say that, you know, that is a really beneficial kind of route to go if you are looking to optimize kind of like concentration in men, and if you're looking to for weight management, lose weight. But for women, it can have the opposite effect. We are more complex beings. Our hormones are like the dial of a 747 rather than just like the microwave.
Yeah.
We need to really support our hormones, and there are just so many of them that are dependent or impacted by stress. And when we don't have food in the morning, that can spike our stress hormones, leading to, you know, if you're doing it long term, that will impact your sex hormones, your cycle, and also, you know, can lead to things like brain fog and things like that. So for men, it can be really beneficial, but for women on the whole, not so much. I do know that, you know, in older women, it can be supportive, but it's a small subset. On the whole, I usually advise clients to go for 3 balanced meals a day. And not to get breakfast.
Yeah. What's the deal with detox teas and juice cleanses? Can you really flush out toxins just by drinking fancy liquids? Again, we see a lot of this on social media.
Yeah, it's everywhere. I don't think you can go online without being pushed something that says detox, or especially in the summer months. I think that we're kind of bombarded by that. And it can be overwhelming, you know, because a lot of people, you know, want to feel their best coming into summer. But those detox teas, those smoothies, they are just marketing. They are, you know, it's marketing that's playing on someone's insecurities. Our bodies have built-in detox systems, our liver being the main one. Secondary, we've got, you know, kidneys and our skin as well. So there are nutrients we can weave into our diet that support our natural detox system to work more efficiently. So, you know, things that are livers, but dandelion tea, which I know is a tea, but it's not one of the the fatty ones. Mm-hmm. You know, whole foods focusing on cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and cauliflower. These things really support our detox systems to work more efficiently. As well as that, you know, the basics of having plenty of water in our diet is really essential. But when it comes to, like, you know, the detox teas, the detox smoothies, or just, you know, any of those programs that really seem extreme, I would veer away from them. Again, it's all kind of taking a step back and using a slight bit of common sense. You know, if something seems too good to be true, usually you should approach it with some skepticism, because our bodies need nourishment, and adequate fuel and hydration to work efficiently. If something is trying to work against that, we kind of have to move away from it, I suppose.
Yeah. Is there a diet trend right now that actually does have some science behind it?
I mean, there are plenty, I suppose, in the sense that there are lots of content creators online that are really, you know, balanced and pushing that kind of narrative. When it comes to trends, I suppose there, I know I mentioned it at the very start, it's the fiber side of things that I really want people to start focusing on.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, zooming out on, because it is so essential, especially for women and women aged, you know, 18 to 45, or even younger, I should say. But when it comes to fiber, it has so many benefits, not only in our, you know, digestive health, as I mentioned earlier, our gut health, but also with hormonal balance. Fiber helps us get rid of used or spent up estrogen, making sure that our hormones stay a little bit more balanced, a little bit more happy. So it is just a really, really major thing that I think I see a lot of people moving towards, and I'm really encouraged by that. And I want that to take center stage.
I guess, you know, if we move from myth busting to kind of meal making, because we want people to learn a little bit about how they can sustain themselves, how they can cook some really fresh, healthy meals instead of maybe dipping out to convenience all the time. What's one viral recipe that you've tried recently that actually lives up to the hype?
All for the one pan meals. I just think they're so simple, but simple is often the best thing. So, you know, you have your grains. You bring in some vegetables for color, and then you have your protein. And, you know, if you're plant-based, you can bring in some plant-based proteins like beans. But putting it all in one dish with some stock or some bone broth and bung it in the oven, and it's done. It takes 5 minutes to prep, you know, maybe an hour to cook if you're using rice, but it's just such an easy, no-fuss meal that I just think everyone can get behind. You don't have to have any skill. And maybe that's why I like it so much, because I'm all for the lowest barrier to entry. But I think those one pan meals are the way to go if you're looking to have that entry meal to having a more sustainable, balanced kind of lifestyle. And actually, yeah, I posted one a couple of days ago, so it's seems to be quite popular. So I'm glad to see that it's resonating with a lot of people.
Definitely. I know for me anyway, the cucumber salad is all over my For You page. It looks tasty. What's it like from a nutritional standpoint? Because I've made it before and I found it really difficult to eat a whole cucumber, no matter, you know, how thin you slice it. And it sounds like it should be nothing, but, you know, there's a lot of cucumber in there.
Absolutely. It's volume, isn't it? It's high volume, but it is really delicious. And you know, from a nutritional standpoint, it is cucumber is more of a hydrating food. It doesn't have much fiber in it. It's not very balanced. I'd say as a side dish, that's great. Mm-hmm. You know, bringing in as much variety as you can. And something similar to the cucumber salad would be the carrot, the retinol. Eat your retinol salad.
Yes,
that everyone
yes,
was hyping over a month ago. And I did debunk that in the sense that, you know, carrots don't have retinol, which a lot of people will know through beauty products. It's something mm-hmm. like it's part of many people's beauty routines.
Yeah.
And there was a trend to eat your retinol.
Yes.
Now, carrots don't actually have retinol in them. They have beta carotene, which is a kind of precursor, a step before. But your body has to convert that. And some people don't convert it very well. So I did myth bust that. However, mm-hmm. I did make the salad. And it was incredible. And I've made it many times since then. So although it might not have like lived up to the kind of hype that people were plugging it for, it was a really tasty salad. And, you know, lots of Asian flavors in there, which are delicious.
Love it.
So, yeah, something that I can get behind, you know, obviously with the right knowledge, you're not kind of, you know, thinking something is pretending to be something. Something isn't pretending to be what it's not. But
yeah,
it was a very good addition. For sure. Really
definitely.
Good.
Some of these TikTok meals, they look really delicious, but are they secretly a health trap? Any, you know, anything you could tell us to maybe avoid? Can you give us a super simple, healthy recipe that our listeners could try? You know, something that maybe they see on TikTok, but we can make sure that what they are definitively making is actually going to be healthy.
Got you. I think something that kind of stands out to me would be, you know, maybe it's just there's a lot of kind of pancake recipes going around.
Yes,
I suppose,
yeah.
And they're all focusing in on the protein. And I think my whole approach is kind of like what you can add to your diet, not what you take away. So these recipes, when you approach them, say if they're marketed as high protein, that's great. Then look at the ingredients. Is there, you know, sources of fiber in there? Could you add in some seeds? Will that balance it out? And things to kind of like pantry staples that I always have in my kitchen, things like chia seeds, things like flaxseed, really, really great. Hemp seeds, I know it's a bit more niche, but I think chia seeds and flaxseeds are something you can pick up in most supermarkets now. And adding that to any of those kind of pancake breakfast recipes is a really great way to make it a more balanced meal, something that will keep you going for longer and support you beyond just, you know, maintaining muscle and kind of keeping you satisfied between meals. The fiber element is going to make you feel a lot better over time.
I love it. I think you've given us so much food for thought, excuse the pun, but I think we're going to be cooking some really, really delicious meals. GQ Jordan, if anybody wants to find out more, if they want to check out some of your resources online or give you a follow, where's the best place that we can go?
Yeah, on my socials, I suppose would be the first entry point. It's GQ Jordan Nutrition, both on Instagram and TikTok. And yeah, I'd love to see some new faces and say hello.
Ah, oh, brilliant. Thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. And we'll look forward to catching up with you again really soon.
Have a good one. Bye. The Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.